Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had an incredibly awesome weekend. It's Monday down here in Florida, and it's a little bit overcast, but at least it's staying cool for us. other than that, yeah, great show today. A lot of stuff lined up. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It is cloudy today, but they were spraying us so heavy with chemtrails yesterday and this morning, I figured they were doing something to the weather again. So we got to keep you posted down here. The thing about it is we haven't had much rain. Even that hurricane that came through didn't give us a lot of rain. So we're kind of down right now as far as rainfall where we live. So we'll see what they're going to do with the weather now, where they want it to rain, and what else they want to do. What's your first story, bud?
Yes, well, good news is I know we talked the end of last week on the incident of Kate Steinle's shooting of the, basically, that happened 2 years ago. The illegal immigrant who'd been deported multiple times, five-time felon, shot her for absolutely no reason, supposedly accidentally, and he was acquitted of first-degree, second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter, and found not guilty of assault with a deadly weapon. He, however, was found guilty of possessing a firearm by a felon. So it looks like now that the arrest warrant that was originally drafted in 2015 and amended this week for him now, which is to include violations related to the charges of felony and possession of a firearm, involuntary manslaughter, and assault with a deadly weapon, all which were filed after defendant's initial arrest, according to the Friday warrant. So the Department of Justice unsealed the arrest warrant for him. So I don't know if they're going to basically try to file other charges on him that he was not charged with. I don't know, but it looks to me like this is interesting to see that this is something that's ongoing, and I really hope the Department of Justice comes out and finds something else to charge this guy with, because there's no reason that he should be getting away with this right now. So we'll just keep following it and see what happens with it. So right now I'm a little unclear of what they have going on with it, but it looks like they are maybe filing more another arrest warrant on him, Deb.
Austin, you can't just shoot people. I mean, no. It's not okay. I mean, I don't know what the heck they're thinking in San Francisco, but it's not okay. You can't just shoot people. And so hopefully they won't just deport him back to Mexico and have him come back in under another alias and have him do something else again. I mean, it's complete nightmares behavior for these guys out there. By the way, the Paris police chief has now banned a march against Islamic terror and immigration. I repeat, he has banned the march. Paris authorities canceled a long-approved march opposing the spread of radical Islam across Europe. It was canceled only hours before due to commence. The excuse of the police gave were they could not guarantee order in the face of counter-protesters. The cancellation sets a dangerous precedent for the using of the threat of violence as an excuse to ban a non-violent protest. You know, here's the problem that you run into with these countries now. Here's the thing. These people that are coming over and raping the women, causing the crime, they're not limited on what they're willing to do. They'll burn, rape, pillage, kill, destroy, whatever they want to do, they don't really care, because they figure Sharia law is going to protect them or whatever they're going to be under, whatever, because they're going to say they're all going to do it for the sake of Islam. And the police there don't know what to do, Austin. They've allowed the enemy behind the gates. Now they're trying to stop people from protesting that the enemy is behind the gates. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And so what we have to understand is that, you know, these guys will burn cars. They'll drop Molotov cocktails. I mean, part of the article says, we don't shoot people, cut throats, or plan bombs, yet it is us, the law-abiding citizens, that we pay for the police and their equipment, that we are being treated like terrorists, and we're being told that we cannot protest. I'm going to repeat that. This is one of the people said, we don't shoot people, we don't cut throats, we don't plant bombs, and yet it is us, the law-abiding citizens who pay the taxes, who pay for the police, who pay for their equipment, that are being treated like the terrorists here. What do you think about that, Oz?
Yeah, that's what they've been doing. They're systematically trying to change the demographics of Europe now. They're making everybody that speaks out against this, about anybody that talks the truth, about anybody that actually puts out real news on what's really happening with this massive Muslim migration, they're pretty much, you know, trying to shut them up as quickly as possible. And it's a perfect example. We've been talking about it for months, actually years now, since this has started. It's been going on even longer in Sweden. But this is the only way they can get the population to submit, is essentially allow these guys to come in, to give them full access to do whatever they want to do, and then turn around and suppress these law-abiding Europeans that are living there lawfully from saying anything in alternative media or in the regular media or protesting whatsoever. So, I mean, it's clearly an agenda. I mean, somebody has to have their head in the sand so far they can't even see daylight to actually think this is just coincidence. This is clearly an agenda to bring these guys in, change the entire population demographics of Europe, which is already happening rapidly. And as you just said, Deb, these guys, the reason why they're willing to do anything like this is because they have nothing left to lose. Worst, absolute worst case scenario, they're arrested and deported and sent back to their country. That's the worst case scenario for them. They don't ever charge them for anything. There's been multiple incidences we've already seen now that have gone mainstream of grown adult Muslims raping 8, 10, 13-year-old girls, I mean, blatantly raping them, and they completely drop all charges, or they give them like a $1,500 fine and tell them not to do it again. It's blatant. It's in their face. They're slapping Europeans in the face with it, and it's continuing to get worse and worse and worse until either the Muslim population leaves or the Europeans submit. And I don't see the Muslim population leaving anytime soon, and I really don't see the European population completely submitting. So it's going to come to a spearhead at some point, and it's going to start something much, much larger, as the globalists are expecting it to, in my opinion.
You're absolutely right. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the atavistic hatred of, you know, the Jewish mafia in Hollywood against the Christians, and how everything that is supposedly a value of Christianity, they absolutely hate. And this past week, the L.A. film critics have honored an underage gay romantic comedy. It's called, the name of it is Call Me By Your Name, with the Best Picture of the Year. The Los Angeles Film Critics Association has named this picture as the 2017 Best Picture winner, with the film's young star also picking up Best Actor, as the independent gay romantic comedy drama added to its early awards season haul on Saturday. This reminds me so much of when American Beauty won years ago and nobody said anything with that perverted show. And now here, this one has won the Los Angeles Film Critics Association as the 2017 Best Picture winner. This is what I talked about weeks ago with this Jewish gay mafia who absolutely hate Christian values in Hollywood, and how they rule and they run things just like they do in the New York Theater District. We've talked about it repeatedly. Guys, none of this is okay. And I'm going to say this again. And I don't want to talk about this. I've deleted this off my iPad. This sick, perverted stuff irritates me to the end I can't even comprehend, because quite frankly, this is that undoing of the Christian values and work ethic that we've tried so hard to do. Remember, I read you one of their texts last week about having sex with a 3-year-old plus one day is okay. I mean, there's some crazy stuff that these guys believe, and we need to call them out for this. It's not okay. And now they're doing everything they can to feminize and make homosexuality the preferred sexual arrangement in the United States, and it nauseates me. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's definitely crazy. It's actually really rough. But also too, I wanted to also touch base on in Germany right now, what's going on top of what they're doing. The German government has now drafted up a plan essentially to spy on everybody in Europe. Germany's interior ministry is actually essentially challenging the NSA for the title of the world's most Orwellian intelligence agency. The proposal would dramatically extend the state's power to spy on citizens, according to the R&D report. The proposal would allow German security services to spy on any device connected connected to the internet without a warrant or without cause. The tech company would be compelled to provide the state with backdoor access to the most digital consumer devices, including tablets, computers, television, and Volkswagen cars. If this gets signed in, it will be the most intrusive spying in a United States and global history if this actually goes in. So it shows you that this is where they're trying to take it. I've warned so many people that Europe has pretty much been the benchmark and the beta test for so many different things, just like the Muslims, just like this incident that I'm talking about here with the spine. They use Europe because Europe does not have the constitutional laws and rights that we have. They don't have the Second Amendment. They don't have the First Amendment. They don't have the ability to protect themselves with deadly force if they feel the need to do so, if their life's threatened. So a lot of these people in Europe, and especially in Germany now, ever since World War II has been over, they've used Germany as almost a beta template to test a lot of this stuff out and see what people will handle, what they'll go through with, and what they can actually get away with. And so this is where they're taking it now, Dad. This will be a full-blown spy state where they will literally be able to spy on any type of electronic device connected to the internet at any time for any reason without your consent. This is getting pretty wild now over there.
Well, that's what they want. They want the entire global... See, the German people, and I've discussed this at length, the German people have been basically emasculated when it comes to complaining about anything now. I mean, they've been told they're basically third-rate citizens because of World War II, repeatedly being shown movies of the World War II disaster for Germany. It was a just incredibly, just a horrible experience from half the population getting killed. I mean, you know, they've been told over and over and over again that they don't deserve anything, that they're the ones that, they're the reasons this happened, even though it was their grandparents, in some cases great-great-grandparents, that were involved in all of this stuff. I mean, people that were born in the 1800s were the ones involved in this. I mean, Adolf Hitler was born in the 1800s, but they don't care. They don't want to make them forget about this. And so the Germans have got a really low self-esteem, quite frankly, because of what they've been beaten down with because of the media. So that's what they're doing. So that's what they continue to do. That's why hopefully Germany won't accept this. By the way, Flynn has pled guilty to lying to the FBI, but not to Russian collusion. Let me repeat that. Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI, but not to Russian collusion. General Michael Flynn, Trump's former national security advisor, pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about meeting with the Russian ambassador. However, what the mainstream media is not reporting is that after the Trump's election, and it was not before, therefore, there was nothing illegal or improper about such a meeting. In fact, it was his job to do so. Stone criticizes Trump's lawyers for bad legal advice, this is Roger Stone, and for cutting off contact with Flynn at a critical time for his defense. Once again, it appears that Trump is surrounded by moles that he appointed and that he cannot trust. Guys, they're doing everything they can to try to do an obstruction of justice charge on Donald Trump, with the Justice Department right now, and with the Clinton and with the Obama moles. And this is what's happening now. They're trying to railroad an impeachment proceeding against Donald Trump. Now, quite frankly, we don't need the Vice President Pence in the White House. He's a globalist. We don't need him there. Trump is trying to do a lot of undo a lot of the policies that he's put together, you know, over the years that Obama put together. But guys, we need to also realize something. I mean, this massive, massive, massive tax cut that we have that's happening right now is one of those things that's really, really, because of the capital gains and stuff, is going to really favor a lot of people who are very, very, very wealthy in the United States. And I'm talking about giant corporations. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts, who I would really like to get onto this show, he says the current tax legislation drops the corporate tax rate to 20%. This means that global corporations registered in the U.S. will be taxed at lower income rate than a licensed practical nurse making $50,000 per year. The neoliberal economists who are the shills for the rich and the Wall Street and the Goldman Sachs bunch and the banks too big to fail claim erroneously by cutting the corporate income tax to 20%, all sorts of offshore profits will be brought back into the U.S. and lead to a booming economy and higher wage. Paul Craig Roberts says this is absolute total nonsense. The money won't come back because it is invested abroad where labor costs are lower. If it invested at all instead of buying back the corporation stock or buying other companies, existing companies. After 20 years of offshoring U.S. manufacturing and professional tradable skills and the incomes associated with the jobs, who's going to invest in America? All that's going to happen is that the Wall Street will calculate the lower tax rate into a higher equity price. Wall Street can do all of this without any of the offshore earnings coming back. Hence, they're saying that the Dow Jones will go to 25,000 this week. Plunder capitalism also privatizes as much of the public sector, such as the military, as possible, thus driving up the cost of the Pentagon's budget. Jobs that the soldiers themselves formerly did are given to the politically connected firms. What was once a kitchen patrol is now provided by an outside private service. And it goes on and on and on with all of this insider training and insider money. So Paul Craig Roberts is diametrically opposed to the lowering of the tax rates with no strings. So what do you think about that, Austin, or have you been paying attention to this?
I haven't done a lot of research on it recently. I did glance over the other day, and I'm pretty much on the same page with him. I don't really think they're going to bring in just bundles full of money because it's dropped a little bit lower. If you actually want to help the economy, you help the middle class. You help the people that are making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year, and you start cutting those rates down. Now, if they went in and they kept these corporations that more than likely are not going to bring this money back into the United States at all, these guys already figure out how to almost write off anything and everything they physically can. A lot of them bring forward losses every single year if they can do so and not get caught. So the fact that they're dropping it even lower now just means these guys are essentially going to pay less money in. If you really want to help the economy, you bring down the middle class wage tax bracket down to 15, even 10% in that realm, and start allowing the American population that works 40, 50, 60 hours a week to actually keep a lot of their income. I know one of our UPS drivers, who I've been friends with for years, he's been working for UPS for a while. And, you know, they make pretty good money. They make anywhere from, you know, in the mid to high 20s all the way up to the, you know, mid 35s per hour. And I talked to him last week because he was slammed, and he said he was going to have about 35 hours of overtime in that they'd be paying for. He said, but the problem was when he calculated with his tax, he literally was only going to be making around $800 to $900 more than he normally does, even with almost 40 hours of overtime, because essentially it was going to drop it up to the next tax tier with that amount of income weekly, and it was going to chew up a large portion of that extra money he was working for right up into income tax. This is something that needs to be addressed. These massive corporations that are usually writing off millions, if not billions of dollars a year and avoiding income tax, they don't need more tax breaks. They're not going to bring more money in from overseas shores. As he said, they already have it invested in other businesses abroad that they're getting labor for and parts for much cheaper than they are in the United States. Bring the money and allow the money that's in the United States here for the American population to keep it. Stop allowing the illegal, unconstitutional Internal Revenue Service to be taxing us unjustly and without constitutional cost. Stop allowing the Internal Revenue Service to tax us for not having health care when we're perfectly healthy. Stop them from arresting people and confiscating wealth through asset forfeiture without charges. Stop them from going in and charging people with stupid crimes and completely seizing bank accounts because you're charging them with structuring because they put in $5,000, then $4,000, then $1,000 in their bank account in a two-week period, and now they've gone over the $10,000 threshold without declaring it to the all-powerful Internal Revenue Service. So they have the right to go in and seize your entire bank account now because they're accusing you of structuring. Why don't we address those issues and stop giving these monster corporations even further tax breaks when they already pay very few taxes, and let the American population keep the money that they actually work for, Dad? That's my take on it. So I'm pretty much on the same page with Paul on this incident now with this new tax break.
I agree with it because the money, he's right, the money's not going to come back. I mean, there's no way they're going to have all the money shoved in Pakistan or in India or in Indonesia or in the Philippines or wherever they put the money and have paying somebody $2 or $3 a day and then turn around and put billions of dollars back into infrastructure where they got to pay somebody $30 or $40 or $50 an hour in the United States. It's not going to happen. That boat sailed. When Ross Perot said back in the early 90s it was going to be a giant sucking sound if we passed, you know, NAFTA, and all these jobs going south of the border and into China. He was absolutely right. And now these corporations have a taste of that really low labor, like Apple. Apple Computer is exactly the same. It's a perfect example of that. Them and their suicide nets they've had to put outside of the doggone Apple facilities there in China because people are trying to kill themselves so often that they had to put nets to catch them. It's because it was bad for Apple's image. By the way, Tony Blair, as I told you, is confirming that he is working to reverse Brexit, and he does not want England, the United Kingdom, to leave the European Union, and he wants to continue with the massive immigration of Muslims into that country and into the New World Order. We already knew that he was a globalist, but now he's coming out openly and telling everyone that he is actively working to reverse Brexit, which doesn't surprise anybody here. What's your next story, Austin?
Yeah, I really didn't think they were ever going to get that truly through. They wouldn't let those guys through that. Also, too, in other news, as we see, the IRS likes to cramp down on everything. I called this a year ago because I knew this was going to start happening with Bitcoin now. The U.S. Senate committee has now put in Bill S-1241, addendum on it, for modernizing AML laws to combat money laundering and terrorist financing. Despite little attention being given to digital currencies during the hearing, Bill S-1241 itself would amend the definition of financial institution in the United States Code to include any and all digital currencies and digital exchanges. This will have alarming consequences for users of cryptocurrencies both in the United States and abroad. This is what I told you guys. More or less, the Senate will get this to go through. This is an addendum on this. Isn't even really something they're going to have a hard time passing at all. The whole thing with Bitcoin is I've already told everybody I'm not a financial planner. Do what you want to do with that. If you've got money in it and you've been making money in it, do what you got to do. Make the decision you feel you need to make. However, I do not recommend me personally or anybody that I'm friends with to start funneling their hard-earned assets into this. This is a bubble. Once a lot of these guys that have been in this stuff at $100, $200 a Bitcoin, once it reaches a certain point, they're going to withdraw all their cash out of this and they're going to have a giant sucking function on Bitcoin, and it is going to literally decimate the entire amount, and it's going to go back down to what it normally should be, is around $100 to $1,000 per Bitcoin. And all these Americans that have funneled in their 401ks and maxed out credit cards to buy Bitcoin because they think they're going to turn into multi-billionaires are going to lose all those assets. That's my opinion. And now the fact that when the Senate passes this and they start making it illegal to basically hold this stuff, or you have to pay income tax on it once you basically cash out on it, and they're going to start charging you with capital gains and everything else, it's not going to be fun anymore to throw your money into a digital currency. Plus, if I told you guys multiple times with this, with Bitcoin, the biggest problem I have with it is it has zero functioning infrastructure that can be touched. They use electricity to basically find these Bitcoins. There is no infrastructure. There are no vehicles in the fleet. There are no payroll. There are no buildings. There are no property. There is no hard infrastructure to back a $177 billion market cap that they now claim is higher than Boeing and GE. I do not think this is going to go anywhere but down eventually. It may still go up a little bit more because so many people are in the flurry of trying to make money in it. But at the point it's at now, me personally, I don't recommend you get involved in it. But again, I'm not giving you financial advice. You do what you have to do on that, Dad. But I knew the Senate was going to push this pretty soon because IRS has to make sure they can come in and steal everybody's income that they're making on this stuff now because people are making way too much money on it.
Well, it's a chain letter. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's Bernie Madoff on steroids. That's all this is.
Pretty much. I mean,
and quite frankly, they're producing currency by doing this, which is against the law as far as IRS is concerned. They kind of took that over in 1913. And they're allowing people to generate revenue. And quite frankly, it's like I said, it's a Ponzi scheme. Sooner or later, enough people are going to bail out of it. They're not going to be anybody else to go into the bottom of the pyramid. It's, you know, and then everybody's going to lose their money who came in last. You called it out, Austin, a year ago when this thing started going up.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they want to have happen. They want to go ahead and continue to rape the middle class people. Because remember, guys, we don't even know how Bitcoin really got started. This blockchain technology, we don't really have any idea if the guy who said he invented it really did invent it, who bailed out of it. I mean, we don't know what's happening with this stuff. I personally still think it's that beta test for the doggone international banking cartels. And as soon as they say, no, 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 we're not going to allow you to do this, it'll be the same thing. $50 billion worth of money was lost with the Bernie Madoff people. I mean, it bankrupted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families. Many, many, many institutions and nonprofits were invested with you know, Bernie Madoff. And finally, he admitted that the last 20, 25 years of everything he did, even if, maybe even up to the beginning, was all a lie. Everything was a lie. It was a Ponzi scheme. And this is the kind of stuff that happens. And this is another chain letter. If you guys don't know what a chain letter is, it's, a lot of you guys are younger than me and you don't get this. It used to be like this. You send out a letter to 10 people, and you tell everybody to send you a dollar back. And they all send out a dollar to 10 letters, and they have everybody send them a dollar back. And after it does that, you know, 20 or 30 times, you start getting hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, potentially, back in $1 bills. I mean, like within a few weeks, few months. The problem with it is they're illegal. The Postal Service was having to deal with all of this stuff, and it just overwhelmed everything. And that's what Bitcoin is. Up to this point, a legal chain letter, a legal Ponzi scheme, and a legal pyramid scheme, that's all it is, and they've allowed it to go because they wanted to do the beta test on it to see how it would help, you know, as far as developing an all-world, you know, currency. By the way, more than 60 admirals are now being looked at in the Fat Leonard probe, the report says. This is really interesting. It says that more than 60 admirals are being looked at in this scandal, because the Navy has many other admirals under investigation and top officers. The Navy is reviewing the behavior of 440 active duty and retired Navy personnel that includes 60 current and retired admirals for possibly military and federal charges that sprang forth from their dealings with the 350-pound fat Leonard. That's what they're saying. Francis is accused of plying Navy officials with booze, with whores, and lavish feasts in exchange for lucrative work supplying ships in ports throughout the West Pacific. Known by the Navy as some as Leonard the Legend, Francis spent decades building relationships with officers who came to ignore his shady ways. Even as admirals and naval investigators delved into tips that he was receiving military secrets and inside information on contracts in exchange for perks, Francis was arrested in an international sting 4 years ago, and the U.S. Justice Department has gone on to file criminal charges against 28 people, including two admirals. Officials told the Post that the cases have increased because the Justice Department handed over dossiers on people whose alleged infractions did not meet a civilian prosecution threshold, but who might have committed offenses that were prosecutable under the Navy justice system. This is exactly what I was talking about earlier, and when Paul Craig Roberts said that we have all of these people that are outsourcing everything to the military now, and people like this boy here get involved in all of it and start giving these guys in these higher-ups all of this money on the backside, or the prostitutes or whatever else they want, and that's what happens when you start getting all of this corruption. So I'm glad they're actually looking into this, Austin. What do you think?
I am too. A lot of these guys get to that level in the military and other aspects of it that they think they can pretty much do whatever they want, and there's no consequences because there's not really anybody to.
I agree 100%. Are you still there, Austin? I don't hear you.
Two people in that point.
Next story: so Israeli attacks Iranian military base in Syria.
That's not
Syria.
A good position to be in. There has to be some type of oversight. You know, there has to be some significant amount of consequences that you still can be saddled with if you decide to do this. Also, too, one thing I want to add in about the Bitcoin real quick, because a couple people have asked me about other options involving Bitcoin. The only way that me personally I would get involved with Bitcoin is if there was some type of independent bank that was backing Bitcoin with physical gold that could be physically audited on how much gold. So if you wanted to swap out one Bitcoin for 1 ounce of gold, you could add that in there. The problem is what people don't realize, if you actually did that and you were using 1 ounce of gold for Bitcoin, you would not have the exponential growth that was completely unrealistic like Bitcoin has done, because everything would still have to be backed by gold. So you couldn't have this. So that's the only way I would really get involved in it, if there was some type of significant metal or tangible asset that was backing Bitcoin. But again, if you did that, you really wouldn't be making any money, not on the level you're doing now, and it would never grow exponentially because it would always have to have that physical metal backing it. So you would never see this growth curve from $100 a Bitcoin to $10,000 of Bitcoin now. It could never happen and still keep the amount of gold that was necessary on tap, Dad. So I just wanted to add that in there real quick, because I had somebody ask me about that the other day.
Thanks, buddy. Remember that when they had all the fighting and the riots in Charlottesville a few months ago with the Antifa group?
Oh, yeah.
And we finally had the actual truth come out, and the Charlottesville's police chief did order stand down and actually wanted protesters to fight. A new report on the Unite the Right, even in Charlotte, event in Charlottesville, reveals that the police chief, Al Thomas, ordered police to stand down. His personal assistant reported that the first sign of violence, Thomas said, "Let them fight. It will be easier to declare an unlawful assembly." The report also says that the infamous Charlottesville's parking garage fight was started by a counter-protester, meaning a member of the Antifa group, and he was arrested in October. He was immediately released on an unsecured bond in spite of the fact that the videos show on the internet that he could actually instigated the violence, and he received $166,000 from crowd-sourced funding. Austin, this is so corrupt that it's unbelievable. And I hope and I pray that this Charlotte's police officer, this chief, is charged with crimes, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, you can't the issue we've seen is this is not the first time this has occurred before. The problem is when you start seeing this happening and they allow this stuff to escalate, there's always another agenda with it. We've called it out numerous times. And this is a problem. Anytime these guys get busted for doing this, they immediately need to be removed from office. There is to provide law and order, to provide protection, to serve the community, and allowing disruption and chaos and anarchy to ensue like that, and they give stand down orders to allow this to escalate intentionally, just shows me, in my opinion, that they had somebody else behind the scenes telling them what to do, and they were following the globalist agenda. That's just my personal opinion on it. Also, too, with the U.S. military, since we know they pretty much have a unlimited budget, essentially, since they need more, they get another $40-50 billion, doesn't really matter. The U.S. military agency is now investing another $100 million in genetic extinction technology that they're claiming can be used to wipe out malaria, mosquitoes, invasive rodents, or other species. Emails released under the Freedom of Information rules show today. The document suggests that the U.S. Secretive Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, otherwise known as DARPA, has become the world's largest funder of gene drive research and will raise tensions ahead of the UN Expert Committee meeting in Montreal beginning tomorrow. The UN Convention on Biological Diversity is debating whether to impose restrictions on the gene research next year. The use of gene extinction technologies and bioweapons is the stuff nightmares are made out of, but known research is focused entirely on pest control and eradication, supposedly. UN experts are worried about the unintended consequences. They said you may be able to remove viruses or the entire mosquito population, but that may also have significant downstream ecological effects on species that depend on them. My main worry is that we do something irreversible to the environment, despite their so-called good intentions, before we fully appreciate the way this technology is going to work long term. So this again is another aspect of DARPA, whether it's DARPA, whether it's Monsanto, whether it's any of these guys, DuPont, Bayer, all these guys are involved in the same thing. They're doing all types of weird gene editing, the genetic modification, the CRISPR technology. This is weird stuff, and the fact that now they're playing with the genetic extinction technologies, this to me, in my opinion, means it's going to escalate into something much further down the road. They're just letting us know in advance now that they're already working on it, Dad.
Okay, I gotta make a comment on this one. This is one of those. This technology is already available. They're not trying to develop it. Whenever DARPA releases information like this, it's because they've already put the stuff in the can. They already know how to do it. Now, this is one of the reasons that they've done so much research as far as with these, you know, different organizations that are asking for you to send in a tissue sample via saliva or whatever to these places to determine your DNA and your what your genetic background is. This DNA research is specifically designed to target undesirable groups of people with certain DNA. Now, I'm going to say something because this is very important that everybody gets this and understands why I'm saying it this way. When Planned Parenthood was originally developed, by Margaret Sanger, who's Hillary's big favorite person here in the world, and who received the Margaret Sanger Award. Her primary goal was to extinguish the black population in the United States and to do it globally through eugenics, through abortion. This is one of her stated goals. You can go back and you can read it or whatever you want to do. In fact, she even said that she wanted to use the preachers in black churches to tell their people to go ahead and follow the protocols, including the abortions, to push the eugenics protocol upon the blacks. Horowitz, who wrote a really good book on the AIDS epidemic, said that it was directed towards the black people on the planet and also towards gays as far as the AIDS epidemic to eradicate them. Now, we have DARPA admitting that it's using extinction-level DNA testing, which means that if they do a DNA sample with you, they will find certain genetic markers that say you're German or Russian or English or French or American Indian or black or Chinese or whatever they want to do. And what they can do is they can specifically attack those particular people who are carrying that particular DNA that they wish to eradicate. This is the technology that is available. They have this technology already. This is off-world technology. This is interdimensional technology. This is what they want to do. They can even find, then they've located a God gene in Christians. Now, I know this sounds weird, but it gives you the ability to have faith in God and all these different types of things, because certain people sort of carry certain genetic codes. They could attack this particular God gene, which allows us to believe in Yahweh, believe in Yeshua, to try to eradicate the Christian population. And if they wanted to, they could eradicate the Christian black population, or the Christian Muslim population, or the Christian Russian population, or the Christian white population. Oh gosh, here we go with the white people again. They could do anything they want to do. And that's where this technology is headed. And if DARPA's already saying that they have this type of gene technology, extinction level equipment available to them and technology available to them, they're letting us know that they have the ability to release this. And remember, they can do it through mosquitoes. They can do it through airborne viruses. They can do it through chemtrails. They can do it through anything and target specific genomes. In fact, Vladimir Putin warned about this several months ago when they were out there full throttle trying to collect Russian DNA. So this is some crazy stuff, Austin. By the way, Trump's White House is now, thank God, this is the biggest story of the day as far as I'm concerned, withdrawn the United States from the United Nations Migrant Pact. The White House pulled out of the New York Declaration for Refugees and Migrants, a non-binding agreement that Obama signed in 2016. The U.S. is no longer a member state pledging to uphold the rights of refugees, assist in resettlement, and provide access to education and jobs. In other words, pay them to be here. Foreign Policy magazine published the White House explanation, quote, "Our decisions on immigration policies must always be made by Americans and Americans alone. We will decide how best to control our borders and who will be allowed to enter our country. The global approach in the New York Declaration is simply not compatible with U.S. sovereignty." Guys, this is a big deal. This is one of those things that Obama did on his way out that I'm so happy that Trump has allowed us to get out of. This will help stop a lot of the resettlement stuff that we've been doing undercover in the night of, in the middle of the darkness, based upon this UN Migrant Pact. What do you think about this, Austin?
That's awesome. I mean, it's incredible. The fact that he did that's very exciting. I really hope we stick to that and there's no other workaround that they try to do with it. But Trump's actually completely right. Same thing we've been saying for years about this. It's not our responsibility to fly people halfway around the world to resettle them in our country and pay them to be here. I remember there was a article that came out about, I think it was about a year and a half ago. I talked about it on the show a while back. And they did a little bit of research on what was going on with Middle Eastern refugees when they got here to the United States. And they found that not only were they sent here, obviously, for free flights, everything to get them over here, as soon as they got here, they had free transportation passes for bus, you know, regular transport. They were given $500 immediately, and then they were resettled to the housing areas that they were going to be staying in. Then they would give them another prepaid, like Walmart or Lowe's or some type of gift card, to be able to go in and buy any type of supplies or furniture, whatever they wanted. Then they would give them, they would show them how to apply for Social Security, for Medicaid, for welfare, for food, housing, for food subsidies. Every single subsidy you could possibly do, they essentially lined it up in front of them. and said, put your name on this, and we'll push the application through, to the fact that when people were getting here from the Middle East, they would literally be lined up with about $3,000 to $4,000 in subsidies with housing, food, and extra cash within the first month of being here, and it would continue essentially permanently. There was really no cap on any restrictions of it. So this is something that just cannot continue to go on. We can't continue to take people from the other side of the world and keep paying for them to live here and give them no incentive to work or do anything beneficial, especially when a lot of these individuals do not even want to integrate into this system in this United States. So I'm excited. I'm glad to see that he's actually doing that. That's really good, actually.
It is. Oh, by the way, the Philippines has got a big mess going on down there because they're now preparing for a worst case scenario after 733,000 dengue vaccines have been given to the people that actually cause dengue fever. This is nuts, guys. This is what they tried to do with Baxter Labs a few years ago with the preferred bird flu they had in Europe. The Philippines is prepared for the worst case scenario as warnings that a vaccine against dengue fever actually causes the disease to appear. French pharmaceutical giant Sanofi Pasteur on Wednesday admitted clinical data showing that this dengue, the first licensed dengue vaccine, could actually make the disease worse in people who had not previously been infected with the virus. The government suspended a school-based immunization program following the revelations, which came after more than 733,000 children had been immunized. The Department of Health is prepared for a worst case scenario. Those who have been vaccinated are in fear for their lives, and they're being followed up for adverse effects. Guys, this is crazy. It's going to take 5 years for this thing to percolate itself through the system. This is why we always warn you. When you tell someone to give you a shot, a vaccination, you have absolutely no idea what's in that vaccine. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. You don't know what it is. It could be tetanus. It could be MMR. It could be whooping cough. It could be dengue. You don't know. You got to trust these guys to inject stuff into you that's supposed to be dead virus, not alive, not to be able to infect you. And here we have 733,000 people that believed what they were being told, and now they've been injected with potentially live dengue virus. Guys, this is a major, major, major disaster for the Philippines. I feel sorry for those guys down there. We have multiple missionary friends who live there. I've already forwarded these articles to them. It's something that we need to understand, that when you take your child to the doctor's office. I was reading an article today, Austin, where a woman went into the doctor's office with her little girl, who was not up to date on the immunizations because her older brother had had a severe reaction to immunizations. And the doctor literally tried to force the mother to allow her to inject her with the needle by holding the door closed, not wanting her to leave. True story. Now, this is some crazy stuff. Now, this doctor should have been reported to the medical board in that state. Whether or not she was or not, I don't know. But guys, when these people really believe that this is the best course of action, and they believe the mainstream medical lie about certain types of protocols that are supposed to be followed, they will literally do everything they can in their power, including turning you into the Department of Family Services if they feel as though that your children are in jeopardy if you're not following proper medical protocol. I've seen that repeatedly when I was in practice. So guys, it's so important when you make decisions for you and your family's health, keep it private between you and your family. Don't be telling your nosy neighbors or your nosy relatives. Just keep it between yourselves. Now, if you've got friends that are making decisions for their family and you want to try to help them, that's a little bit different. But your personal decisions that you make for you and your family, just keep it tight. Don't be talking about it to other people. Really, really important. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, it can be an issue. I mean, the problem is, though, we have to be making sure that we're doing the best we can to wake as many people up. But the problem is, you have to feel people out a lot of times before you start talking about some of this stuff, because some people are so diametrically opposed to other people that are against vaccines, it's almost ludicrous. But you guys have to understand, a lot of these pediatricians as well, know who your pediatrician is and what their stance is before you start bringing your child to them. You have to understand that. I want to be very clear on that. If you have a pediatrician you're going to start taking your child to, you need to make sure you know their stance on vaccinations and what they want to do before you start bringing your children to them, meaning you have a pre-op meeting or you have a meeting with them by yourself and find out what their protocol is. Sometimes even one of the nurses will be able to discuss that with you, because I've told you before, the Blue Cross, Blue Shield pediatricians, if they can get at least 200 children underneath them fully vaccinated through their two-year vaccination plan, they get an additional $40,000 a year bump. If they can bump it up to 300 kids, it goes to like 60-something thousand. The next bump's 80,000. This is per year bonus. That's more than most people make an entire year, and these guys can make it in one single bonus bump if they can get every single child fully vaccinated. But if the child is not fully vaccinated and up to date, they lose their head as far as on the roll roster, so they cannot count towards their bonus bump. That is why some of these doctors get so adamant and so aggressive, because they got to pay for that giant house they have, or they have to pay for their five car payments or whatever other stuff they have. They have to make sure they're making that bonus that year, so they have a financial goal to make sure you are injected with these vaccinations or your children are injected regardless of the long-term effects. This is an article that just came out from Robert Kennedy Jr. This is insane. This is a new research study that they started testing brain tissue of autistic children, teens, and young adults that had basically died. They found that some of the highest values of brain aluminum content ever measured were found in these kids that had autism. Scientists have been aware of aluminum's neurotoxicity for decades. However, a lot of them refuse to address why the vaccines have so much aluminum in them. The controversy, which is a growing number of reports by researchers in the United Kingdom, France, Canada, Israel, and the United States and elsewhere, have furnished substantial evidence linking aluminum to all types of neurological issues, including Alzheimer's and autism. Aluminum levels in this particular study were so high in a 15-year-old boy with ASD, with autism, who had the study's single highest brain aluminum measure in history. In light of the fact that every minute amount of aluminum can have adverse neurological effects, Dr. Exley's newest paper, which reports on the first ever study of aluminum in ASD brain tissue, is groundbreaking. It was published in the Journal of Trace Elements in Medicine and Biology. The paper documents some of the highest values for aluminum in human brain tissue ever recorded. Using a two-pronged study design, the researchers measured and characterized aluminum deposits in brain tissue from 5 to 10 ASD donors, most of whom died in their teens or 20s. What the research team found was startling. The study's quantitative arm documented consistently high aluminum levels, representing some of the highest values for brain aluminum content ever measured in healthy or diseased tissues. Specifically, all 5 individuals had brain tissue with pathologically significant levels of aluminum, defined as greater than or equal to 3 micrograms per gram of dry brain weight. The aluminum levels were particularly high in the male brains, including in a 15-year-old boy with ASD who had the study's single highest brain aluminum measurement, which was 22 micrograms per 1 gram of dry brain weight, many, many times higher than the pathologically significant threshold and far greater than levels that might be considered even acceptable for an aged adult with Alzheimer's. The aluminum levels rivaled the very high levels historically reported in victims of dialysis empathology syndrome, which is a disorder resulting from aluminum-containing dialysis solution, which is some of the highest ever recorded in history. So it goes on in this research study. It's pretty wild here. They said across the 10 donors, the investigators identified 150 different aluminum deposits. All 10 donors had aluminum deposits in at least one tissue sample. So this is, again, showing you guys that when you start allowing your children to be injected with some of these vaccinations that have 250, 450, some of them 600 micrograms of aluminum per vaccine, there's long-term side effects, guys, and there's a reason why every single child that they tested on here, that they were all autistic brain tissue, had significantly high amounts of aluminum in the brain, much higher than recorded in any other test that they've done before, Dad. So I thought this was pretty crazy, the article that John Kennedy put out today.
You know what's interesting, Austin? I've been telling people for 30, 40 years that the Alzheimer's disease was directly linked to aluminum exposure. I've seen massive increase in senile dementia in people who drank antacids, you know, like Maalox, Rolaids, Tums, who drank them and chewed them. I've seen it over and over and over again. And I've got a friend of mine right now who had he had to have a kidney dialysis done, and he can't remember anything. He's got he basically has dementia now. He can't remember anything. I mean, he starts making stuff up of stuff that happened 7, 8 years ago. Just can't remember it. And you see all of this stuff, and you think, wow. And then he's telling people, hey, don't use aluminum pots and pans. I don't care if it's clad in stainless steel. Don't use it. Don't use aluminum chlorhydrate deodorant. Don't use that. Don't put, you know, aluminum triskelate salt on your food. This uses an anti-caking agent, that and baking soda. Avoid all of these different exposures to aluminum because it really builds up in the brain. And people don't really understand that until a study like this comes out linking autism and senile dementia and Alzheimer's again to aluminum exposure. And I have said this so many times, and people just don't really understand how important it is to get this stuff out of your diet and out of off your body. That's also very important. And what folks also don't understand is that's why we drink distilled water. I don't want aluminum, which is about 5% of the Earth's crust, in my water supply that I'm drinking and putting into my body. Have no interest in that. By the way, a new study has now revealed that sugar just doesn't feed cancer, but it actually causes cancer. This is a study that was done by Middleton, the researcher. He said that sugar is not only a fuel for already existing cancer, but is a primary driver in the development of cancer. It's called oncogenesis. And the initiation of cancerous characteristics, which within previous healthy cells. This was published in the Journal of Clinical Investigation entitled Increased Sugar Uptake Promotes Oncogenesis. Researchers addressed a common perception or misperception in the cancer research community regarding sugar's relationship to cancer, namely that this increased glycolysis, sugar-based metabolism, is frequently viewed as a consequence of oncogenic activities and events that drive malignant cell growth. So what they're saying is this. Let me make it simple to stop all this jargon. They're saying that not only does sugar feed cells, sugar that they have feed cancer cells, but sugar causes cancer cells. This is huge, huge, huge implications. Guys, I don't know what to say this, but the average American right now, we're getting hundreds of pounds of sugar and high fructose corn syrup into our diets annually. All of this may contribute to promoting the ideal metabolic situation of cancer called aerobic glycolysis. It's so important that you eat clean. That's why we put together our Eat Clean and Be Healthy cookbook, because what it does, it allows you to eat really healthy foods and avoid all of these hidden sugars in your diet. The seemingly endless vicious cycle is responsible for the insatiable cravings of a high-carb sugar diet. It generates, not to mention, the fructose-based hedonic effects generated in the brain. I'm not going to go into details, it's too technical by this research, but it's also saying that it also causes a massive problems with yeast, and also that helps to contribute to cancer initiation and promotion. It says that candida thrives on sugar, leading to additional support to the notion that sugar consumed excessively may be the primary driver of cancer epidemic in those consuming the modern Western diet. Guys, just stay away from all of this stuff, including Splenda, including aspartame, all of these synthetic chemicals. Avoid them like the plague, along with sugar, and get a copy of Eat Clean and Be Healthy. So very, very important. Austin, what's your next story?
Yes, absolutely. And this is another one related to all of our pregnant listeners and family that you have that may be pregnant. You guys know Lana's pregnant. She'll be, I think baby's due January 8th now. So that's pretty exciting. But this is a new research study coming from the Institute of Research in Environmental and Occupational Health, led by Bernard Jagog. The study was performed from researchers from the University of Copenhagen, found that pregnant women taking ibuprofen the first trimester can cause problems with the development of fetuses, specifically male ones. This was a really interesting article, because I've always told Lana before, when she's been pregnant, if she's got some pain or something like that, I say, listen, you just got to bite it. You can't be taking aspirin. You can't be taking ibuprofen. And she's really good about that. She's always like, that's fine. Listen, it's 9 months. I can do anything for 9 months. I'll endure it. I'll go through it. Even Hunter, that we had at the midwife, Lana did 100% natural. No epidural, no painkillers, absolutely nothing. She's incredible with that. Well, this study right here proved even more why you do not need to take ibuprofen while you're pregnant. The experiment included xenografting, a process by which cells or organ tissue from a living organism are transferred onto other species in order to understand their development. In the study's case, they used laboratory cultured testy tissue to graft on the mice. The data collected from the first trimester of fetal development showed a sharp drop in testosterone production by the Leydig cells when ibuprofen was in administered to the grafted mice, even in small amounts. The ibuprofen apparently reduced expression of the genes needed for germ cells. Also notable, the production of prostaglandin E2 was inhibited by the drug. The results also showed the reduction of production of hormones and gene suppression are dose-dependent. The research found that there is a window of sensitivity, specifically in the first trimester of fetal development, where ibuprofen presents a significant risk for genital and reproductive system development in males. The recent study found that the drug suppresses the production of various hormones, including testosterone, which controls the primary and secondary sex characteristics and the descent of the testes. So, guys, be very, very careful, again, what you put in your body while you're pregnant. We talk about this all the time, but when you're pregnant, you got 9 months. You got 9 months to keep it clean. Hopefully, you've kept it clean even before that, but while you're pregnant, stay off these pain pills. Eat as clean as physically possible. Take the prenatals. Take the omega-3. Take additional folate. It's so important to keep that stuff in your system as much as possible and keep the bad stuff out, guys.
I couldn't have said it any better, Austin. You know, a woman's pregnancy used to be sacrosanct. Doctors wouldn't prescribe anything. I mean, I'm talking because after that thiamide disaster back in the 50s when these children were being born without arms and legs and hands, they began to realize that this is not okay and that we've got to make sure that we keep these people clean and we don't put any junk into them. But that's all gone by the wayside now. And now we basically have a situation in which they actually try all of these different things, including immunizations on women, which are causing all types of horrible, horrible, horrible problems. Guys, thanks for listening. I appreciate you getting your multiple vitamins from us. You guys are absolutely wonderful. Thanks for praying for us. Another medical doctor who basically is an alternative researcher was found dead again. I mean, this is crazy. This is up to number 80 now. So thanks for praying for us. I really appreciate that for our protection. We pray for you guys on a daily basis, and I thank God that you guys are here listening to us and you're part of our family. Again, I appreciate you. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate everything. Thank you so much for the support and the prayers and the emails you guys are sending us on a regular basis. We really do appreciate all of them. If you guys need anything, check us out at the website at healthmasters.com. Also, be sure to check out the new Eat Clean and Be Healthy cookbook that Dad was talking about. That's a really awesome book. Also, too, I think we're going to be having that released out on Kindle by the end of the week for anybody that likes to have that basically on the Kindle devices, so you can pull it up as well on your iPads and so forth, digital device. So we appreciate that. Also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week, the magnesium brain food, which has been clinically shown to actually chelate heavy metals and has the magnesium threonate, which it can go through the blood-brain barrier. Very, very important for brain health. Great product to keep the brain functioning really, really well and help pull out heavy metals. So that'll be on sale till Wednesday morning. And also be sure to check out the other products that are listed for product of the week and vote on which one you guys want to go on sale. We appreciate everything, guys. We thank you for the support. We thank you for the prayers. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.